Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of the Brain Injury Radio Network.
Brain Injury Radio and Radio Ability are sponsored by the TBI Network.
Find them on facebook.com/TBI Network or at tbifn.org.
Brain Injury Radio is on 7 nights a week. And now, for tonight's episode of Brain Injury Radio.
Hi, and this is your host of today's episode of Brain Injury Radio Network's Mess with MS. I'm very happy to be here today. I'm in lovely Hawaii. This is Lisa Dreyer, your host, and the Brain Injury Radio Network is pleased to bring you shows 7 days of the week in all kinds of formats, and I'm very, very, very happy to introduce my guest today, and her name is Chris Ann McCormick. I'm really happy that she's here. We met, actually, in the best way possible. It was a surprise, and I always like that when that happens. I wasn't looking for her. She just kind of fell into my lap as a guest, and today she's here on the radio to talk to you all. I think that's wonderful. And welcome, Chris Ann.
Hi. Thank you so much, Lisa.
Are you with me? Hi, of course.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, I can
hear you.
I always
say that
quite well.
Oh, good. I know. I always say, well, we are like, 2,000 miles out in the middle of the ocean. So to have service at any time is amazing.
No.
Are you there?
Can
you hear me?
No. I'm sorry. I was a little flustered. I couldn't get into the studio quite as well. But I'm sorry. I thought we were going to be able to talk for a little bit before, but that didn't quite happen. but at least now
we're both here.
Yeah, now we're both here and everything's great. It looks like we have other people listening in, and that's fantastic. Let me give my spiel about the show. I started working for Blog Talk Radio as an actress, and I wasn't working with the Brain Injury Radio. I was just working for Blog Talk Radio, and I was working as an actress. I was traveling across the United States, and then I was diagnosed with MS, and I was diagnosed with MS, and I started telling my story online, and I was introduced to the Brain Injury Radio Network, and they started interviewing me. And when they started interviewing me, I was asked if I wanted to be a host eventually because I did so many interviews. And I love having my own radio show. I love being here and sharing people's stories. It gives me such a feeling of hope and such a feeling of pride to be able to share people's stories, because I think essentially that I'm a storyteller. That's what I was meant to do with my life. And I love that. I've been able to do remote shows like this from Utah, from Colorado, from many different places. So it's always interesting. Oh, I did a remote show from New Mexico recently. But it's always interesting to have guests like you join me on my remote shows, because I've met some really amazing people in locations where I can do these remote shows. And it's just amazingly interesting. And to meet someone like you, who's another MS survivor and who has really become such a person of hope, who's become like, who's gone past the disease, who's, you know, you've recovered, you've gone from active MS to no lesion activity, and that's amazing. That's a true inspiring story. That is really amazing, and I can't wait to tell your story, and for you story, and to share it with everyone you know, and to share it with my audience as well, and for everyone here who listens to Brain Injury Radio Network, and for people who tune in to Mess with MS. I think it's going to be amazing, and I can't wait. It's truly an honor. Thank you so much. Thank you so, so much.
Aww.
And yeah, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Without further ado, let's start talking. What's your life like? What was your life like before diagnosis? Can you tell me about your family life? Can you tell me about anything? Tell me about your work life. Tell me about your family life. What were the most important things in your life before diagnosis?
Before diagnosis, I was single mom, and I worked in a salon, and I did hair, and just busy, just full of life. I mean, you just work all the time and do what you have to do, and you don't really pay attention to, you know, the little things that happen. I remember thinking, dropping my comb. I remember thinking, oh, it's PMS time. I would pick up my comb or get a new comb and just work. And then I remember the first time that I was laying in bed and I was reading, and I reached down to scratch my left leg thigh, the thigh part. And I remember it feeling like it had like jeans on, that I was wearing a pair of jeans when I wasn't. And it felt strange. And it was just a little piece of my leg. And I thought, oh, that's really odd. Well, of course, it keeps getting worse and worse, and then eventually it ended up a numb leg. It felt like working on a wooden peg. And at that time in my life, I don't really have time to really go to the doctors. I really don't have time to really go and investigate. I just kind of kept going to chiropractors saying, hey, my leg doesn't feel right, you need to pop it back in, or, you know, whatever. And that was my life. That's how when they found it, the MS, I had had a car wreck, and I had got T-boned, and it totaled the Subaru. It had bent the underneath. But anyway, the guy that was working on me, physical therapist, he told me, he said, something isn't right. You might need to go get some MRIs done. And I said, oh, okay. So I went and got an MRI on my neck. And it came back, and the doctor said that, you might possibly have MS. You might need to get this checked out. So that's how I found out the very first time that there's a possibility that I had it.
Did you know anything about multiple sclerosis then? When they told you that you might have MS.
Yeah, I had before that when my leg was. I'm a researcher, so I kind of looked up possibilities, but I totally was like, oh no, there's no way I could ever have that, and I just shoved it away. It's like, I think that's why I didn't really go seek out, spent time. It's just like, I'm too busy. I'm working. I got life. I don't have time. I can deal with this. I'm just strong, and I can deal with this. It's okay. And I think I didn't really want to know, so I just pushed it aside, and I just like, you know what I mean? And so I, when I had the car wreck, of course, it really made things go into high gear. And I was newly married, and my amazing husband, I had warned him before we got married, when we were getting serious. I said, you know, there may be something really wrong with me. We may need to reconsider this marriage. And he's like, it doesn't matter. You know, we'll work through it. And so we did. We worked through it. He ended up actually having to take care of me after the wreck. It really escalated the MS. It caused me not to be able to. It just went into high gear. I could barely walk without help. He really had to be my caretaker. It went into high gear, and we had two girls we were raising, and so he just did everything. And so that was my life for a while. And when I found out, we were in Utah, went to an MS clinic, did the MRIs, did the spinal tap, did the MRIs on the brain and the spine. And how I found out was, it was very traumatic. I went in and had all the tests ran, and I was, you know, you had to wait 2 weeks back then. This was in 07, waited 2 weeks to find out the results. And I remember calling, and I remember feeling like I was annoying the person behind, you know, the doctor. And I remember hearing the sounds of the films going up, and I remember her talking, not really directly at me, but to herself, sort of. And the films were going up in the light, and I remember she was counting my lesions on the phone. Mm-hmm. And then she said, oh, let's see, yeah, 3, 4, 5, 7, 8, oh, yeah, and then 2, 4, oh, yeah, yeah, you need to come in. You got eight lesions in your spine and 4 in your brain. You need to come in. That's how I found out. So over the phone, and it was very traumatic. I'm so glad I was at my husband's office, so I pretty much dropped the phone. And anyway, so time went on, made an appointment, and we went in, and they put me on the, I can't remember the name of the medicine. It's a shot every day. I used to know the name of that medicine, and I was supposed to look that up for you, and I forgot. I'm sorry.
No,
but,
that's okay.
Anyway,
that's okay. It's pretty amazing that you don't remember the name of your medication.
I used to know the name. Yeah, well, I used to know the name, but I don't anymore. But I did take it for a month, and it was beyond excruciating, the medicine entering my body. Not the shot. That's not a big deal. I could give myself a shot. But the medicine that enters my body was so powerfully strong that I would wait till my husband got home at work, and I would start having anxiety like 2 hours prior. And then he would come in, and I remember that I had to take my shot, and then it would hurt so bad that I would grab his hand, we would run out the door, and I literally would walk as fast as I could. And I don't remember how far it was, but it was around, if you can imagine, we were staying, because he was working there, and so we were in like one of where the RV parks type of thing in Wyoming. Anyway, however big that was, we went around it like 3 times as fast as I could just to try to get through the pain. That's every day for like a month. And I just knew that this is not a good life for me. I can't live like this. My anxiety was getting worse. I can't do this. And so I researched, and because I didn't feel like doing anything else, and I just was on the computer a lot at that time in my life, and I just researched a lot of MS. I was in a lot of groups back then, and I learned. I learned from other MS patients. I just learned a vast amount of information, and I learned all the medicines out there. I learned about all the medicines out there, and I knew that there was one that I could do. I knew that I could do this. It would be okay for me. I could handle this medicine. It's called Tysabri, and it's an infusion every 28 days. I know that if you take it 3 days before the 28 days or 3 days after the 28 days, your body will reject it. If you ever get off of it, your body will you can't do it again. I know the side effects was a brain infection, and my husband and I were willing to take that risk. And so I knew I had to get off the medicine and be off for 3 months before I could even start a new medicine. And we left Wyoming because my husband's home is Bend, Oregon. So we went back to Bend, and I went and talked to the neurologist, and I said, look, this is what's happened. This is what I've been through. This is what I've taken. This is why. This is what for. This is what I've researched, and this is what I'm willing to take. And I was really bold with her, and I said, if you don't give it to me, I will find a neurologist who will. And she was like, wow. And she said, okay, well, let's talk about it. And it ended up being, she's a great neurologist. We had a great relationship. And she let me have the Tysabri, and I was on it for 5 years, every 28 days.
Sometimes you have to speak your truth and tell them exactly what you want.
Just to interrupt you for a second,
you have to tell them what you want.
And just to
give everyone a heads up, neither of us are doctors, neither Chris Ann or I are doctors, and we cannot give you medical advice. These are just our personal stories, and we are just sharing with you our personal stories. If you, only you know what will be right for your body. You need to talk to your doctor or your medical professional. You can only get information from this show, but you need to speak with your doctor or medical professional about anything that you hear on this show. If you think that something might help you, please, please contact a doctor or medical professional if you are interested in it. I wouldn't go off willy-nilly. I thought that it would be right.
Because
of the things that we're discussing in the show could be have very serious consequences, like the Tysabri.
Yes, that's true.
Does cause a very serious infection called PML, and you need to take it knowing that it has very serious consequences if you don't take it accurately. I myself have taken Tysabri, and it was very incredible in my life, but I mean, you need to take it knowing that it can be a great agent for good, but it has incredible power to harm you. So you need to be very serious about following your doctor's instructions in it. Many medicines out there for MS, which might sound incredibly scary, but they can help you. But you need to you need to take them with knowing that they could hurt you if you don't follow your doctor's instructions and the medication.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That's very true. And remember, way back when, there was just like a handful. Like there wasn't like it is now. Like I wouldn't know all the drugs now that are amazing and wonderful. But back then, there was only like a handful. And researching those drugs, that's the only one that I would go with myself. But that doesn't mean, I had other friends that took the other shots, you know, like once a week shot and then one every 3 days, or I don't remember all of them now, but so that's, you know, that was my drug of choice. And I found a neuro that worked really closely with me, because you have to be tested with your liver and your kidneys, and I mean a lot mm-hmm. of blood tests. Yeah, so you do. You have to be very careful. And they took Tysabri off the market like right before I took it. Like they had it, and then somebody passed away. They took it off the market, but there were some MS, I guess some ruckus wanting it back, and it was big enough that they brought it back, and they had just brought it back when I started it, and that was in 07, I think. So, no, 08. I started in 08. But anyway, so on with my story. I will tell you that it was extremely painful the very first month. It was so painful that I didn't want it anymore. I couldn't do it. It hurt so bad. It felt like my muscles were being ripped from my bones. It just was so painful. But my husband and my doctor convinced me that I should try it one more month. And I did, and I had a few days where I wasn't in so much pain. And I remember, I think it's the fifth month that I was on it, or the third month, feelings came back in my leg. And I remember the fifth month, I think I was actually had way more better days that I felt normal. I could actually function. And I think I was even cleaning when they called to tell me that I would be getting my infusion soon. And I was so excited because I normally would know when it was time for infusion, like a week before the infusion time. So it worked out really well for me. It held everything at bay. There was no active, no new, but I still had lesions. Up until we moved to Hawaii in 2012 with my husband's job, I had my first infusion here, and then the second time it was time to have infusion, it was going to be 8 days, 8 days late. And I knew that I couldn't. My body would reject it. I already knew. And so I told my husband, I said, you know, I can't take it. I said, but let me please just do it my way. Let me do it my way. And I just got really, really strong into, I rode the bus for 3 months in Oahu. I said, don't buy me a car. I'll just ride the bus. Everywhere I went, to the store, to the post office, to this town, wherever, I just rode a bus so that I would walk. I hated the beach. I didn't like the sand in crevices. I just was scared of the water. I didn't know what was in the water, but I just embraced all the fear, and I just let my husband help me, ease me into and learn. And I fell in love with it. Saltwater pool is a game changer. And I mean game changer. If you can get yourself in the saltwater pool, the ocean, anything is just a game changer. I had a massage every week, and I took supplements. So with that, and then I also tried to eat a lot better, and I drank gobs of water. I remember I just drank gobs of water, and even my massage therapist kept telling me, wow, your cells are changing. Things are changing with you, and that would juice too. So there was just
juicing really helped me. Juicing was something that changed me. Yeah. I don't do it anymore. Now I've moved to smoothies, but juicing did change my life. It really did.
Yes.
And it introduced me to all different kinds of fruits and vegetables, which really changed my life.
Right.
And it
I think diet has a huge
organic foods.
Yeah. Right.
Diet does have a huge it has a huge effect on you and your health. I think what you put into your body changes your health. I mean, it only makes sense. What you put into your body affects you. It affects your health. It affects everything about you. What you put into your body is what you get out.
That's true. Well, you know, before I actually got diagnosed, I was still a smoker. I was a smoker my whole adult life. And this was in 08 when I quit. And And then I quit smoking, and I was a Dr. Pepper holic, and so I quit that too. So over time, and I'm not going to say it was just, you know, so simple. It's something you have to work through, and you need to figure out what your reasonings are, why you're doing it. I know with me, mine was psychological. And once I worked through the psychological part of it, and changed the habit and really studied that and researched that and did it for me, my way, because I have to do it, because I knew I could feel it killing me. I could feel it just sucking life out of my spine.
Yeah.
I could just
putting
feel
the
it.
Toxin
and
in
I'm,
body.
Yes. And I thought, you know, I want better. I just want better. I don't want this kind of life. And so, I just kept moving forward over time. You know, the same year that I started working out and started doing things and walking and drinking, and I was getting better and better. I just believe that God healed me. And I told my husband, and he said, well, you know, let's have an MRI. So I went and had MRIs, and not only is there's, you know, no new lesions and there's no active lesions, but the lesions that were there are gone. And that's a huge miracle, because that's, you know, not medically possible. So, and the repercussions that happened when I had MS, my body, even to this day, is still repairing. I feel my body still repairing itself. And that's been how many years since 2012. I used to be a really avid speller. I was really good at my work. I was a hairstylist, and I was really good at it. And I remember standing in front of my husband's head going, I just don't know what I'm supposed to do. Like, I can't, it's not coming to me. It's out there in space somewhere, and it's not coming to my brain on how to accurately fix this mess that I just made with your hair. So anyway, I knew that I couldn't do hair anymore. There's just no way, because something that would come and go, or if I didn't feel good that day, but if I had an appointment, I can't have a life like that. So, I remember my words would be in space somewhere. Like, I couldn't remember how to spell four. I remember four was a huge word. It's like four, that's got to be easy. How do I spell that? And the more that I couldn't find it, the more anxiety that I would have, and the more embarrassment I would have, and the more that I would get flustered and I would get upset. And my husband would speak for me quite a bit, because he knew what I was trying to say. So he would actually speak for me to help me. And I always said, it's not really us that suffers so much. I mean, we do, but I'll tell you who suffers the most, and it's the people that love us the most, who are there for us, because they go through so much from being, you know, we're all good that day. We can totally do our life that day. And then the next day, we can't do anything. I couldn't be a mom. I couldn't cook. I couldn't clean. I couldn't do anything. And he had to know which direction to go, different hours or different day. You know what I mean? Can you imagine? It's like, wow, that's got to be exhausting.
caretaker depression, caretaker fatigue. Caretakers have it so hard. It's incredible how difficult it is for caretakers, and people don't realize how
right.
How much caretakers actually have on their plate. Caretakers
right.
have one of the hardest jobs at all, of anyone. And
right.
my significant other and I both have MS and other complications.
Uh-huh.
And we like to say, you know, that we take care of each other. And sometimes,
right.
you know, we have, we're doing well. One of us is doing well, and the other one isn't. And we're each other's caretakers. And you know what? It's wonderful. And at the same time, it can be really tough.
right.
But you know what? It is the best thing ever, because you know what your partner is going through. And not all the time. Sometimes it's confusing and rough. And it can be difficult because you go, well, I have a mess just like you have a mess, but I don't really understand what that is all about. But
I love how you described it to me. You said MS is like a snowflake. It's a disease like a snowflake.
Yeah.
Because every single MS patient is different. Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes people have the same kind of thing, but no one experiences it the same exact way.
The same.
You know, everyone's experience is slightly different because no one's brain is exactly the same. No one's, you know, it's like no one's fingerprint is exactly the same. No one's going to experience something exactly the same way.
The same.
So,
I mean,
everyone's going to be slightly different. And that's why these medications work on us differently. These, you know, everything works on us slightly differently. All these diets work on us slightly differently, you know, what
different,
they call
that's
these
true.
MS
supplements,
diets.
Everything.
Every,
right.
All the supplements, everything is different for us because we are all different. And that's another reason why, you know, we have to give out the little warnings at the beginning of our show because everyone has a different reaction to things. And so you can tell one person that medical marijuana really worked for them and another person it will not work in any way, shape, or form. It might make someone, you know, have an extremely bad reaction. So life is different for everyone. And
that's so true.
And people are all extraordinarily different snowflakes.
I know. I like that. I thought that was a really amazing way to describe it. It really made sense to me. It really did. I think if I was to look back and if I was to encourage people, I think it would be to really hunker down to know who you are, like know what your body is saying to you. There's a story that I absolutely love that helped me relate to other people, and it also helped me to relate to my family. And I never will forget it. It was a woman with MS, and it was told to me, or I read it, I can't remember, but she had MS, and she was in a college, and she had friends, and they were all talking about going to the movies and talking about going out to eat and doing all this fun stuff, and they invited her, and she said, well, I really don't think I'm going to be able to. And they kept almost like hounding her a little bit, like, you know, oh, come on, you can go. Oh, come on, it's not that hard. You can do it, this kind of thing. And she said, listen, I want to explain something to y'all. And she took these spoons because they were in a restaurant. And she laid them all down, and she said, everyone everywhere has the capacity to use a spoon for, you know, for everything they do. They get up in the morning, they go to the restroom, that's a spoon. They take a shower, that's a spoon. They wash their hair, that's a spoon. They brush their teeth, a spoon. They make their breakfast, a spoon. They get dressed, that's two spoons. Every single thing that they do every day is a spoon. Everybody has different amounts of spoons that they wake up with every day. And a normal healthy person has like abundance of spoons, like probably 500, and they can just do abundantly, you know, all kinds of stuff. But people with MS, they wake up in the morning and then they decide how many spoons they have. I may only have enough spoons today to, you know, I may only have 15 spoons today. So I have to pick and choose what, you know, do I need a shower? Do I need to, you know, do I need to make my breakfast? Can I just make an easy breakfast? You know, there's just these different things. I need to go to class. take a test? Is that going to take how many spoons that day? My girlfriends want to go to the movies. Do I have enough spoons for that today? Everything is a spoon. And I thought that was the most brilliant way to explain to my family and friends that this is how it works. There's some days, and I told my girls, I was like, listen, today I only have 5 spoons, and I'm going to need you to pitch in, and I'm going to need you to do some things, or, you know, or whatever. Told my husband, you know, my husband's like, you know, don't worry about it. It's okay. I was very blessed. I still am very blessed to have an amazing husband, and he's an amazing caretaker. I just can't express that, but I also realize not everybody has that. And so, but in that same tone, I wanted to share another little something that I thought was really informative. I noticed that when he was at home, because he had to go for a period of time to California to do a job, and I stayed back with the girls. And so when he was home, when he would come visit home, I noticed that I didn't feel good. I had a headache. My body hurt. And legitimately it did. It legitimately didn't feel good. And then I noticed when he was gone, I didn't quite feel as bad. Like, I felt bad, but I didn't feel as bad. I didn't really have the headache as much, and I didn't have it as strong, and my body just kind of worked a little more. And I thought, wow, that is really strange. And so it kept happening. And then I was thinking, why? Why would it happen like that? So I asked him, do me a favor. If I tell you that I don't feel good, I don't pay so much attention to me. Don't, like, you know, give me all this attention and you know, just wait on me and just give me all this love and extra attention. Wait till I'm feeling good and then give me all that attention. And I want to test something out. I think something's going on. And I think subconsciously or whatever that is, I'm thinking that my body's reacting to that. And sure enough, we did it. We did it, and it really did happen. My body started feeling better when he was around. And when I didn't feel good, legitimately didn't feel good, and I would tell him, "Yeah, I'm not feeling very good." He'd say, "Oh, I'm really sorry, honey. Why don't you go lay down?" Or he'll do something like that. He wouldn't be like all catering and doting and loving, and it really did change. So I thought that was a strange phenomenon to happen. But I think it happens more often than what. what do you think?
I think that's amazing, because it's your body reacting to being sick. It's like developing a sympathetic nerve to being sick, and then telling it, you know, you get more attention when you're sick. So maybe when you're sick, you should be sick. But the opposite is true as well, because you've told your husband to give you the right kind of attention when you were healthy. And I mean, I think that's such a good thing. Because, like, when you were healthy, you wanted the attention. You were like, let's go do something fun. I mean, I think that's wonderful. I mean, because you really, people want to be having fun, right? They want to be going out and doing something that will stimulate their mind.
Preserve your energy, you know, the best you can.
If you're not feeling good, you should be resting, taking care of yourself. You know, you don't want people to be giving you attention when you're not feeling well. You want people to be giving you attention when you actually can go out in the world and be having fun.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, that's when you should be getting positive attention. You don't want people to be paying attention to you when you're not feeling well. Yeah, I totally agree with that.
I know.
I mean, so So
it
you
is.
Have
so
kids
true.
And grandkids. So
I do.
Would you
I
give
do.
Them,
I have.
Would you
I,
give
I,
them
I,
attention?
I fly a lot.
When, yeah, yeah. Would you give them attention though when they were sick, or would you give them attention when they're healthy and doing well?
Right, right. Well, you know what's
you
funny
know?
Is, you know, kids, I know this with kids, you know, they, if, I mean, I understand they can't get all the attention that they're wanting. However, there has to be, like, I think a kind of a good balance, because if they're not getting any attention and the only attention that they get is negative, you know, like sit down, be quiet, blah, blah, blah. You know, if they're only getting that, then they'll just keep doing whatever it is they're doing in order for you to give that to them. So I think that is another important too. And I remember, like, the kids, I remember when they would say, oh, I'm sick, I don't feel good. And it's like,
yeah.
You know, you can, as a mom, you can pretty much tell. You know, you can tell when it's kind of the
clearly
same thing, whether they don't want
to
take a test. Or
when they're sick, when they're really sick, you have to give children
exactly.
attention.
Oh,
but
of
when
course.
They're pretending to
oh,
be
of
sick,
course.
That's one thing.
Right. Well, you know, what's funny is I remember, you know, when I was really, really sick, oh, man, my mom had to clean sheets, and she had, like, the soup, and she would just come love on me and make me feel better, but I was really sick and wanted that. She would put the Vicks on my chest and give me the cough medicine, and I would go to sleep, and there was no, you know, I remember that. So when the kids were maybe not want to take a test or whatever the reason they didn't want to go to school that day, it was like, oh, okay, well, you don't feel good, then you need to get in bed. No TV, you can have a book, but we put the Vicks on the chest, and we, you know, we gave the nasty medicine, and you know, like over-counter nasty stuff, and then it's just like, here's your soup, and you need to drink gobs of water, and man, they can only fake that one day, then they're back in school. They're happy to go back to school.
Because
yeah.
It's
like,
most
oh, no.
kids do not want to be sick in those kind of conditions.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly.
Most,
if you let them just stay home and watch TV all day, you know.
Like that. Yeah.
Right? Right? It's so funny. Yeah, it's so funny. Yes. But anyway, so like on we go. Let's see. Okay, so I just keep getting better. I just keep moving forward. I keep, you know, just moving forward. But I'm not going to say probably the best shape I was in was in that year. Like I just was playing in the ocean all the time with my stepdaughter. I was just, you know, she came to visit that summer and she was 14 and we were in the ocean all the time. So, but after she left, then it was kind of like, okay, and then you just kind of go through life and you just do your thing. And I just keep getting better. And then my husband got me started playing golf. He's my coach, and I like playing golf with him and his friends. And I play golf in men tournaments, and got my hole in one. And I just excited about that. I did do a video on that because that one day I literally played 36 holes of golf. That
That's
one day
amazing.
That I did a video, I think it's in 2016. Yeah. Yeah. So I just keep it. Golf really, it's a sport that teaches you about life. It's the only thing I know how to describe. It just really teaches you about life and what you're capable of. And I just keep getting better. Recently last year, I started Toastmasters and just super,
and
I just love it.
Really
I love it.
Because, so have you ever had any complications with your speech because of MS?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
There would be time, yeah, because my words would just float out in space somewhere. I couldn't remember how to spell or even the word that I wanted to use. For me to speak right now is fun. It's just it's a huge blessing for me to be able to hold a conversation, to be able to keep I call it squirrels from going all over the place, for them to come together, for me to be able to have a real conversation and stick on the same subject or at least remember the subject and come back to it. You can ask my husband. It's just an amazing thing that happens when it all comes together and that happens. So I will tell you the funniest thing that my daughter wrote. She's grown now. She's a mom of three kids. She's 26 now, but she wrote something on Facebook. It was adorable, something about, so mom, after you were diagnosed with MS, you were quirky and weird, but that's okay, mom, because everybody loves you. And I have it it's a memory in my Facebook, so I have it posted, and it's like, thank you, daughter. And it was when she was younger. And because she grew up with her mom having MS, not being able to really mother her as far as you would a teenager, you know, like go and do things and mm-hmm. be inactive and you know. And so I couldn't really babysit the older grandkids. I wasn't capable of doing it by myself. I always had to have someone with me. And the past, I don't know, few years, I've babysat the grandkids, held the babies.
That's wonderful.
I was with the twins at the same time, taking care of them, taking care of the three-year-old. Oh, it's just, life is changing, and I wanted to share this. If you embrace, because you have a life, this is what I say, you have a life prior to MS, a whole life. All of a sudden you have MS, and now you have a whole other life. And then now you have a new life that is way different than any of the two before. And if you as a person can really dig deep and find out, okay, listen, I'm not that person, and I'm going to take the positives out of that and not dwell on the past of the negatives, but I'm going to just kind of forgive and accept and move on. And then you have your new life of, oh, wow, this is my new life. Okay, what can I do, you know, with my new life? And just almost work on yourself. And kind of read yourself and kind of like give yourself grace and don't be so angry with yourself and try to do what you can to make yourself better, you know, happier, mentally, physically, spiritually, like just really embrace things. And then and have a voice, you know, be a voice, share. And you know what? Apologize, because at least for me, I would get angry and I'd be so angry and not even know why I'm so angry. And that was a huge thing. And I was like, I'm so sorry. I think I really took it out on you and I didn't mean to. I was just so angry and I don't know why I'm so angry. And I don't know why I'm crying today all day. I don't know, but I just, you know. And I remember having those days too. And so then you move on. And then now you have a life where you're like, wow, okay, well, I'm not sick anymore, so I need to work. I want to work. I'm past of needing. I don't really need to work, but I want to. I want to work now. I'm not done yet. Like, there's still stuff for me to do. And so I decided, and I have spent time since last December. I talked to my husband. I said, you know what? The kids are gone. They're raised. I said, I do travel to see them, but I'm ready for a life. I mean, you know, you've got to be bored listening to what this cat does all day. You know, when he comes home from work, right? I said, I think I want to do hair again, but I'm afraid. And he's like, well, honey, only you can decide that, you know, only you will know. And just take your time and just kind of feel it out and see. And I seriously didn't know if I could mentally, physically, emotionally deal with it. I didn't, because it takes a lot. You know, you don't just stand up and cut hair. Like, you really, it takes a lot out of you, and you have to know what you're doing, and you have to have good days, and you have to be consistent. And all of these things matter in order to be a successful hairstylist. So what I did was, I talked to my boss, and I said, this is what I've been through, and this is what I want to do, but I have no clue if I'm able, and I need to do it at my speed. If that means I slowly step into it, and it takes me a while to get, you know, into it and slowly move forward and whatever it is I need to do. And she said, okay. And she was willing to work with me and willing to do it with me, and I've had my hard days where I'm like, oh my, I can't do this. It's just too hard. I can't do this. And then I've had my more days than that I'm like, wow, I'm doing it. This feels so good, and I love people, and I love what I'm doing, and this is amazing, and I've accepted that I can focus one thing at a time. And I tell my clients, if I'm creating on your hair, I cannot have conversation with you. If you talk to me, I'm not being rude. I just don't hear you because I'm really focusing on what I'm doing. However, when I'm shampooing you, when I'm drying you, when I'm styling you, whatever it is I'm doing outside of creating cutting, I can totally have conversation with you. And it works. And I'm starting to get booked up or, you know, like have regulars that actually won't leave until they're on the books for next time. And I meet great people like you and your dad. And so that's my life. I love Toastmasters. I love, I had to overcome my fear. I had to just say, which I love about you. I respect that about you, Lisa, that you're like, hey, I have a mess and I'm on the radio and this is my speed and this is how I do it and this is what's going on and I meet gobs of people and I love it and this is, you know, and I love that about you. It's like you're not afraid. Like if you are, you're really good at faking it.
I have a lot of fear. I have a lot of fear, and I kind of just power through it, I guess. If no one could tell, I every time I do the show, I have a big amount of trepidation. It probably bubbles up at the beginning of the show, and I just kind of move my way through it. It was the same thing with every time I was on stage. I was really nervous at the beginning. Every single time I did a show, and the first time every run, I did the first show, and then after the first show, I was okay. But
it's
kind of like that when you're in the arts. It's difficult sometimes. Sometimes you're nervous. Sometimes you're really, really, really nervous. You just have to power through.
Power through it.
For me, I think that it's really magical. Sometimes I have a great deal of pain when I'm doing the show. Sometimes I get really bad migraines, and I'll do the show with my migraines. Because I think that I have to. I believe that, you know, I have to get the show done. That's what I signed up to do. This is my job. My job is to do the show. I have an audience that is looking forward to the show. They want to hear it. So I owe them. I owe them the show.
Aww.
And I'm very thankful that I have this experience, you know.
Yeah, and, well, I'm truly
I love it.
And honored. Yeah, yeah. Well, you're really good at it.
I'm humbled and honored. Thank you. But yeah, and like I will admit, I've had speech difficulties, and for me, it's so difficult because I looked at myself as someone who was I'm trained. In public speaking, I'm trained as an actress. I worked on my speech. And for me, I sit here before the show and I do speech exercises. I work on my voice exercises so that I can pronounce my words well.
Right.
So, I don't do that every day.
right.
But I do that before the show. So, did you ever go to MS meetings?
You know, I will tell you that when I was researching back in Wyoming, and I was on the blogs, it was way back when, before Facebook and all of that I remember, I think. Anyway, it was these where people were there, and you could message them, and you could keep up with them, and they could write, and you would go find them and write what they – I don't even remember what it was called back then, but but I was a part of the MS Society is what I'm going to call it. And I, well, that's how I learned a lot. And I was there, I don't know, probably a few months involved in all of that. But I found that, that my ability to be positive about what the experience, I felt like it was draining me. I felt like it was just sucking me down to a level that I just couldn't handle. It wasn't, how was I going to change and how was I going to accept this new life that I have if I'm just constantly listening to all of this stuff, and it was not as positive as I would have liked. I mean, I'm not saying MS is positive. What I'm saying is the outlook of it or the what you're going through, of course it should be truthful and honest and all of that, but it just seems like they weren't trying to be more uplifting of some sort, like to themselves or to others, or to say, hey, I hear you. I know you're going through this. Let's see if we can't,
let's,
you know what I mean?
On,
like,
let's be more positive. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
More, a little
let's,
more positive to help you feel a little
positive.
Better. Right. Exactly. And I didn't really know at the time about how to do all of that. I just knew it was sucking me, and I just had to be like, okay. So I just took myself off. I went to Oregon, and I was on my Tysabri infusion, and I remember having to go in to the, because where they had the infusion is where the cancer patients are also. And, when you have your family
I
pass away with cancer, it's hard.
In the cancer room.
Yeah.
So I understand.
Right, right. So it's, So I remember they got it ready, and I remember I had a breakdown, so I had to go to the bathroom and just let it out and come back, and my husband's smiling and patting me and loving on me. And so I do it, and then, and it's all good. I remember my first time in the wheelchair also was at the zoo, taking the girls to the zoo, and I remember we were about a quarter of a way done, and my husband comes back with the wheelchair, and I just broke because I'm like, no, I'm not ready. And I remember arguing with the doctor when she wanted to give me the handicap sticker.
Yeah.
Sorry. And I was I'm not ready for that. She says, no, you really need this. You're fixing to go to Texas. It's at the heat. You need this. You can park close and you can walk in and all the heat, And I'm like, but I'm okay. I don't need that. So I was pretty stubborn. And but then my husband's like, yeah, you do. You do need it. And it was so cute because he would be driving me. But because where we were, he would be parking. And I'm like, oh, honey, you're so funny. And he's like, well, you need it. The doctor said, so it was just a running joke with us, because I really did need it. I was just being stubborn. But I remember I accepted it. I remember that to save spoons in order to be able to do more things, I didn't waste a spoon in Walmart or in Costco. I would go get in the wheelchair. And there were times, literally, I would be running into stuff, and my daughter's like, oh, mother. I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm kind of off today. She's like, we'd kind of make it funny and not so dreadful, And but I wanted to preserve spoons, so I would just get in the wheelchair and I would be okay with it. But you had asked me a question. I'm so sorry I got off track. Do you remember the question you asked
me?
No,
it's okay. I was just asking you about groups, but that's okay. You answered the question about groups, but
yeah, okay.
That's fine. And then the next question I was going to ask you was about adaptive devices, and you were talking about the wheelchair, which is great. And people get hung up about adaptive devices, and that is entirely normal. When I was using a wheelchair, I would notice too that people do, it's funny, people notice you in a different way than they notice you when you're using a wheelchair, than they notice if you're using a walker or a cane. It's odd. It's very odd. Like if you're using a cane, people won't really notice that as much as if you're using a wheelchair. Like, if you're in a wheelchair, that's the ultimate adaptive device.
Right.
If you're using a walker, it's kind of like, oh, let me get that door for you or whatever.
They'll still get
the door for you if you're in a wheelchair. But, I mean, it's on a different level. You're suddenly, oh, she's very disabled. But if you're using, like, a cane, it's kind of like, oh, you know, that person has a stylish accoutrement. it's so weird.
You know,
I mean, it's like, okay.
It is so weird. And I know that I think that people, in general, I'm not saying everybody, but I think some people, they just go to an extreme of not really thinking, or at least I did. I changed my thinking when I see people that are not doing, you know, they're in a wheelchair or they're in a walker or they're whatever. I have more, is it empathy? I have more empathy. I notice them more.
Yeah.
To try to help instead of, you know, before when it was just like, you know, I mean, you notice them, but you just, I don't know. It just, life is just so different. But when you experience it, it's way different.
It's very different. It's very different.
Yeah, agree. I agree. But yeah, so I just, you know, telling my story, I just tell my story whenever I find it's going to be beneficial, helpful to someone else. And so I just really prayed that this segment of your radio, it at least speaks to one person. It helps encourage one person to know, hey, there is life outside of MS, even if no matter how bad you have it. You know, you're hearing, you're seeing, you know, just to be so grateful for what you do have. I just, there's times when I start getting kind of down a little bit. I'm like, man, I wish that I had more strength, or I could, you know, do this, or I wish that I start thinking back and I'm like, wait a minute. You do have more strength, and you are better, and you are doing this, and you're helping your husband renovate the house. You learned how to lay tile. You learned how to build walls. You learned how to, you know, help. And I would get frustrated, and I have to say kudos to my husband, because when I get frustrated, like, it doesn't matter if it's a game on TV that we're playing, or if it's me helping him with the shed, or if it's I'm irritated because the bugs are on me, or I'm hot and sweaty, or it's raining, or I don't even know, and I get really frustrated because it's not working out, and he's like, it's okay, why don't you just go rest for a little bit, and I'll get it done, and I'll go rest, and I'm mad, and I've got this attitude. But then I love how I've been working all this time, and I jump back. It doesn't last very long like it used to. It fixes itself and comes, and I get centered again, and I'm like, okay. And then I go back, and boom, 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 we get it done together. And
yeah.
So I just love that part. I just love that part. I love that I can go to the back room in the salon, and I can just sit there and take a breath and be like, okay, Christine, you can do this. You know, you're smart. You can remember this, and you know how to do this. And it's a formula. And just take your time, think about it, and get it done. And it's amazing when I formulate, I get it done, I take care of my client. My client is literally in tears because it's life-changing for her. This just happened last Saturday. And I'm just like, wow, thank you, God. Like, I'm just so happy that I'm able to do it again. You know what I mean?
That's,
you know,
amazing.
So what
was it like when you began working again? Did it exhaust you?
Scary.
Did it make you?
Yes, all of
yeah,
it. Yeah,
very scary.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And
every
exhausting.
Single thing. Yeah. But I will tell you that I wouldn't do anything but haircuts. Because that was always my gift, and I love to color and to formulate. But that was another level that I mm-hmm. would have to go into to do that. Right. So when I very first began, I put myself out there a little bit, but not really a lot in order to have more clients. I'm only there to take walk-ins, to you know, like I have my regulars, you know, some regulars, but I'm very picky. You know, this may sound kind of not very nice, but I just won't take the ones that exhaust me. I just, that drain me, that's just drama queen, whatever. I just won't take them. I won't, I will take people that are, that it's a win-win, that they like me and I like them and our communication works well. And I don't even do highlights right now because it's a whole other level. That's a whole other level that I've got to work on and perfect before I even go there. So right now, my haircuts are just, they're back. They're back, and I just love it. I just love my haircuts, and they're back. And then I started formulating color, got all my colors, and I'm formulating those. And it's probably between starting to being really comfortable to being full-blown comfortable. You know what I mean? Like a medium, like you're kind of like stepping, like, okay, take your time and let's, you know, check yourself three times before you actually mix it. Make sure you've got the formula correct. Do you know what I mean? That comfort level.
Well, you're
regaining all of, and then you have the scale.
All of your skills.
Do
again.
What?
You're regaining all of your skills. That's
yeah,
amazing.
I was doing my husband's hair. This is recently. I was doing his hair, and a memory came back. I saw it. I saw it in my mind, and I said, oh, how exciting. I said, babe, I know how to do clippers over comb. And he's like, what? I said, yeah, I learned it in the barbershop. Like, I worked in the barbershop for 2 years. I learned how to do that, clippers over comb. I don't have to use the little guards. I can do it. And which makes you know, it doesn't make it any better. It just is pretty cool. You know, it's just like, oh, wow, I can do this. And so I did it. And I'm like, wow, that's just so cool. I remembered a spa treatment that I did back in 2000. I remember that it was a container and it had this spa stuff in it, and it wheeled around. And then it had this machine that was moisture machine. And I'm like, oh my gosh. Okay. So what year was that? Man, was that like 2000? What? I don't even know what year that was. And I think the company was well, but I'm not sure, blah, blah, blah. I'm talking to myself about this. And it's just super cool because another company just came out with a spa type thing. It's not as cool and big and all of that as the one, you know, however many years ago, but it is just more, it's more advanced, so that you're kind of like a hair chef, hashtag hair chef. So I'm super excited about checking into that because I'm all about the plant-based. And I think that led me to go into hair because the companies have embraced the products of plant-based. It doesn't have the nasty ammonia and the sulfate-free and the parabens-free. It's they have embraced that. So it's a lot more healthier for you now than to put the old school, you know, color on that. When I was, because I think I retired in 06. So I used really good product from Germany, but it still had all the junk that, you know, we shouldn't be using.
Well, and
so now I've embraced,
you shouldn't be,
you know,
using that. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So I've embraced, I've researched, I've found the products that work really well, plant-based, super excited about it. My color's plant-based, no ammonia, but yet it holds amazing and it's very conditioning to the hair. So, yeah, so I really like my life right now. I really, really am enjoying
so happy
it.
For
and
you.
Yeah. So I just want
and
to encourage everyone to just not give up.
I think you've shared some amazing things about, like, how plain ocean is really healthy, about the massages.
Yes.
About taking
massages, salt water
pool.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Do you encourage any supplements in particular?
You know, I have been taking for 3 years a supplement. It's called Plexus, but they really go into healing your gut. And if you research it, you can go online and look up healing your gut. A gut health. I know that with me, on my research, I'm not saying everyone else agrees, or I'm not a doctor, I'm not nothing other than just, you know, but I really believe that autoimmune diseases are gut-related.
Starts in
and
the
I
gut.
Will tell
yeah,
you,
it's gut-related.
Yeah.
And the gut
yeah.
is your
so,
second brain, and I fully agree with
yes,
that. I mean,
yes, absolutely. That's
it,
a passion
it was,
of mine.
It used to be just something we said, but now
we're
truly
true.
Learning that your gut
Well, you
and
know,
your
the scientists in Italy.
Yeah,
the scientists in Italy. I think it's either Amazon or Netflix. I can't remember, but there's the scientists in Italy have done a Siri thing on it, like a show. And it really goes into detail. And not to be gross or anything, but I think this is really important. My whole life, I had always had number two problems. I mean, whole life. Yes.
And they talk
so
about
that.
Well, if you go to MS conferences, they talk about, like, how important that is. Like, your bowel is very important.
Yes.
And you need
yes.
to be focused on,
well,
like, that healthy bowel activity.
Yes,
some people might consider it gross, but when it comes down to your health,
right.
you need to be able to talk about
these
things.
You need to be
things.
Able to, yeah, exactly. It needs to be, you know, and my whole life, and I'm not even kidding, even as a little girl, I mean, I remember getting, like, enemas as 2 years old. My Nana was, you know, doing that. I remember, you know, my whole life I would just be suffering severely. I remember that would go to the doctor and they would just, you know, try to make me take mineral oil 3 times a day, like 3 tablespoons. They would put Metamucil. They would make me take the blue bottle Maalox or what, I don't even know what that, but I will tell you one of the worst things that was a killer that was so unbelievable was that, what was it called? It starts with an M. They have it on TV too. Maybe it'll come to me in a few minutes. But it is,
okay.
They say that the water will come, that it takes the water from your body and eliminates. But I'm telling you, that was the most painful elimination.
Diet?
No.
Well, no,
this
I don't
is
know
a product that they
about.
Advertise. Yeah, it's over-counter. It's the doctors tell you to take it. The doctor told my daughter to give it to my 7-month-old grandbaby. I'm like, oh, no.
Oh, that's
no,
terrible.
No, please don't give him that. Please don't give him that. That is terrible, awful, please. It's like Masonlex or Myrilex. Is that right? Myrilex?
Oh, yeah. No, I don't agree giving products that are adult products to children. So that's just me. I worked with children
for a
very long time. But, I mean, that's
yeah.
just me. That's my input. And I, once again, I'm not a doctor. But, yeah.
Me neither. I'm not either. But I can tell you my experience on, you know. But anyway, so it's just like, okay, let's do prune juice and water. How about that? You know, I mean, all I know is that my stomach was broken. My whole intestines was so broken that no matter what I did, it just wouldn't work right. It didn't matter what I ate. It didn't matter how much water.
Mucinex, melanin, I don't even know what it's
Myrilex.
Called. Oh,
I think it's called
colors,
Myrilex.
Something like that. We have 2 colors. Would you mind talking
no,
to them
not
for
at
a
all.
Second?
Not at okay, all.
Okay, because we're almost off air, but I want to see if they have anything that they'd like to know. Hi, 716,
okay.
You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi, 716,
hey.
You're on the air.
Hey, guys. How you guys doing?
We're
good.
Doing
how
well?
Are you?
Angel. Angel Raphael.
Yes, ma'am.
Hi, Angel Raphael.
How you doing, Lisa? Hi, Lisa.
I'm
how
doing
you doing?
Well. How are you?
Wonderful. I'm doing great.
Do you have anything to ask Chris Ann today?
No, I was just listening. You know, I can't think
okay.
of anything either.
Well, thank you so much for advertising the show today. Thank you so much for calling in. And it's lovely to speak with you, Angel Raphael.
You're
thank you.
No problem.
And I hope you have a wonderful day today.
You as well.
Much love to you, sweetie. Okay.
Much love to you as well.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Angels is the sweetest. We love him here. Okay. Good afternoon. 808, you're on the air with Mess With Them Us, or good evening, wherever you are in the country. 808, you're on the air. Hello. Okay.
Hello.
I guess you don't want to, 808, I guess you don't want to be on the air, so we're going to put you back on hold. Oh, we have an upcoming scheduled episode coming up in 15 minutes, and so I guess we are going to wrap our show up. I knew that was going to happen. Well,
okay.
Christine, you've been an amazing guest. I'm so sorry. You've done my job for me.
Aww, sweet.
We're such an amazing guest that you directed this all by yourself. You were able to talk about your life in such a way that I didn't have to do much work.
Let's talk
about Toastmasters really quick.
Okay.
Let's do that. Let's talk about Toastmasters
and
tell people what Toastmasters is all about
before
we go off today. Toastmasters is a wonderful organization that you've become involved with. So let's tell everyone what it is all about, because it is wonderful, and I think it's amazing that you're involved with it. So let's tell everyone why you're involved with it and what it is.
Okay, this is what I describe when people say, what is Toastmasters? It's an international organization comprised of thousands of clubs where people work to improve their public speaking, communication, and leadership skills. It's self-paced, and it's very enjoyable, and the people are great, plus it's very, very affordable.
That's how I describe Toastmasters. Yes.
I love that.
And I'm excited. Well, when I first went, I was thinking it was going to be something my husband and I would do, but then it didn't take very long to realize, this is for me. I like this. And I literally went 5 times as a guest because I wanted to make sure that the people were authentic and real and that this fun thing that was happening was just not a coincidence that it happened for one time or twice. And then I got to where I was like, oh, I'm being entertained. And then they were telling me, do you want to join? And I'm like, oh, but then you'll make me talk. I want to join. I think you'll make me talk. And then when I finally joined after 5 visits, I said, okay, I'm going to give you money. And then I remember thinking and having to say, when I was up there giving my speech, and I'm like, wow, I actually paid y'all money to make me feel like this. Which was, you know, fear and all of the things that you feel when you're standing up there and you're trying to tell a story and give a speech and you're trying to, and then I realized the more that I do it, the more confidence that I'm getting and the better that I feel about myself. And they actually help me. And I don't know why I'm doing it other than I enjoy it and I love the people. And then they asked me to
be
vice president over PR this year. So I'm an officer and super excited about that too. And so to learn how to do that and to just, my mentor is amazing. Her name is Carol and she's just amazing. And she pushes me in just the right way. Like she encourages me and pushes me and then she lets me do it and then she will I don't know. It's just the right way for me to move forward. Otherwise, I think I would be stagnant. I would just kind of like, yeah, I'll just wait. Okay, I'm just going to wait. And I actually get up and I actually do it. And then I'm like, wow. So it just betters me. And I just encourage everyone. It doesn't matter your physical ability. It doesn't matter. It just go do it. Like, go join.
Yeah.
It's amazing and it's fun. And the people, you know, especially if I don't know of any, I have never heard of anyone not happy with their own group, but you could go visit because it's all over the world. You can go visit group until you find the one that you fit in. I found the quirky, weird, wonderful, amazing people to fit into.
I think that's so amazing. And I think your whole story is amazing, Chrisanne. And I hope that
you
continue to share your story with other people. And I am so grateful that you were on Mess with MS today. And I would like to just thank everyone who listened in today. And I want to thank everyone who continues to listen. And thank Brain Injury Radio Network for giving me this show. And unfortunately, we're going to have to sign off now. But you can listen in again on September 8th, 9th? No. On November 9th. Okay. And thank you all, and good evening, or good afternoon, or good night to everyone out there. And mahalo. Thanks, Chrisanne.
Mahalo. Thank you so much.
Mahalo.
Okay.
Mahalo. And good night, or good evening, good afternoon. Bye, everyone.